Tell us about the gig. Tell us about some of the challenges, expected and unexpected, as you get an opportunity to run a bench.
Yeah, it was an exciting opportunity. When I found out that I was going to be doing it, I did a crash planning session of a couple weeks to start getting ready and figuring out staffing and practice planning, start getting a feel for the roster and how we might utilize some of the players, and then. It's just been a big challenge in terms of the management of the entire operation, but it's been a lot of fun. We've got a great group of guys. It's been good to see some of our younger roster players out on the floor and taking on a little bit more of a leadership role and a little bit more involvement as go-to players on this unit. And there's been some challenges, but it's been a lot of fun.
Were you out there last summer at all, or is this your first summer out there? Because you have some pretty big shoes to fill from the head coaching standpoint from last year's summer team.
Yeah. I've been out to summer league more times than I can count now, to be honest. I think I've been an assistant coach for the summer league team the last bunch of years, and. Certainly, that was a good opportunity for Nick last summer to sort of get back into, being a head coach again, and also to start working with his staff and start figuring out the dynamics there. And we take this opportunity in the summertime seriously as a springboard for development and the off court as well that can happen, the bonding that happens away from basketball, and also just familiarity and the building of the relationships. Because when the season rolls around, you see everybody every day. There's no days off, and you're working with the same group and trying to solve the same problems every day.
We've talked a lot this week about player development and in basketball. And when they first came to you with the idea of you coaching the team, what were your initial thoughts on doing this?
I was excited. I was kind of hoping I might get the opportunity, whether it be this year or in the future. And it was an exciting challenge, and I really enjoy working with the younger players. And for the most part, our group is kind of that low 20s range. We've got a couple guys we've brought in to take a look at that have got a little bit more professional experience, but really, it was excitement. It was an opportunity to try out some things, experiment, and obviously huge growth and personal development opportunity for me, and getting a feel for just a different opportunity. And that's something that the organization's been great about over the years, is giving their staff more opportunity at this event, so that they can develop personally and grow and learn some lessons and take that back to what we do during the regular season.
With John Goodwillie, who is the Raps Summer League head coach, and he is the Raps video coordinator in season. This is Sportsnet Today across the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Scott MacArthur and Tim Leeper. John, when this wraps up and you assess everything, how would you define for yourself and for your group a successful summer league?
Well, I think it's most important to talk about the group, and that starts with our main roster guys, and of course with Dewan, who we just drafted, and he's sort of integrating himself with his teammates. In terms of him in particular, I think it's important to see the foundation forming of the type of player that he's going to be. There's a lot of things being learned right now, and we're doing some things with his jump shot to try to get a little bit more consistent, and he's working his butt off getting ready. And so I think, seeing Dewan, integrate with his teammates off the floor, seeing what he can do on the floor. He's a great kid. He really takes to the coaching well. And so that's a big step. And then, we've challenged Chris with some different things, and seeing how he responds to them. We got him pushing the ball up the floor a little bit more, and getting our wings out and running so that he can get a feel for sort of that full court play and see if he can do that. And so far he's passed that test pretty well. He's been making great decisions in the open floor with the ball. So that's great. Jordan, you know, obviously he's a pretty solid player. He can score a bit. He can run a team from the point. He can bring a lot to the game. He had a heck of a defensive game last night. And then Malcolm, you know, we know, very capable shooter and defender as well. So really making sure that those guys get the necessary development that they need to keep them trending in the upward direction. And then obviously a huge win for us is being able to evaluate a bunch of players that we've either had our eyes on, you know, through their college careers, or some, like I mentioned, some of the guys that have played professionally overseas and in the G League that we think are, you know, have taken another step and are close to taking another step, and maybe being in the mix for us, whether it be with our main team or with our G League team with the 905. So I think those are really important aspects of Summer League. And then, you know, for me personally, I feel like I've already, you know, had a huge win just with the opportunity to run the ship and develop and get my voice out there a little bit and also to experiment. There's some things we're doing on the floor that's a little bit different than we do during the regular season. And I think some of that, whether it be, you know, some of the drills we're running in practice, some of the plays we're running, some of the defensive coverages we can take back to our main team, and we can evaluate how they worked at this level and see if it might be able to work for us as we move forward.
Hey, can you take us through a little bit, like working with in the finals and going through the series there, in your role as video coordinator? What did a typical day look like for you?
You know, I would say there's not really a typical day. you know, the playoffs. One of the things that I'm really responsible for is the next opponent throughout the regular season and throughout the playoffs. And so I'm always kind of a day ahead of the team on the schedule, or a couple days ahead of the team on the schedule, and learning the playbook of the upcoming opponents, so that when it comes to in-game and Kyle Lowry yells a play call at me, I can let him know what's coming. So that's one of the big things for me. And so in the playoffs, that preparation is heightened because you've got a lot more time to prepare. And obviously you're going to play 7 games against the same team night in, night out. And so ahead of the schedule a little bit. And then when it came around to the finals, you know, there is no next opponent, you know, you're so locked in on Golden State. And one of the things I did is kind of tried to get inside the Golden State coaching staff's mind. And, you know, if I was them, what would I be adjusting in this series? How would we be covering Pascal differently? What would we be doing to Kawhi differently? You know, I think that was something I tuned in on when we got down to the finals. But throughout the bulk of the year, I'm kind of always on to the next team and making sure that as soon as one game ends, we got everything we need to be prepared to go play that next game. And our coaching staff has everything they need to prepare our players and get ready for the next opponent in the next series.
How much more of is a chess match knowing that you may face a 7-game series as opposed to when you're just playing one team one night, another team the next night?
There's no doubt. I mean, you know, they're doing the exact same thing. You know, they're preparing and they are working to take away your strengths. You are working to take away their strengths and forcing them into doing some things that, you know, that they may not be as efficient at, not be as comfortable with. And so it's a big chess match. It's really interesting the way you see a series unfolds when you're so locked in on the strategy. You know, the rotations, you learn who is better at guarding certain players, who is better, you know, attacking certain players and moving the pieces around, as we saw in the finals, you know, starting Freddie in the second half. You know, it was a great move by Nick. It really gave us some juice a couple times. And those are the types of adjustments that happen in series that just kind of help buy you a couple of possessions and that can make all the difference.
John, when a guy like Kevin Durant is a question mark and you don't know if he's going to play game 2, you don't know if he's going to play game 3, you have a sense he's going to show up at some point, is it, and this may be an oversimplification, but is it, we got a plan for a Golden State with KD, we got a plan for a Golden State without KD? Or are you kind of living and breathing every moment and trying to put the puzzle pieces together, understanding that ultimately you just don't know until you step out on the floor that night?
Yeah, you do have to prepare for both scenarios. And teams aren't really revealing much in terms of injuries and expected and everything like that. I think before we started the series, we kind of had our ready to go, and that we on that once the time came around, you know, they had about three or four sets that were kind of very set, and we had those ready to go, so that, you know, when the time did come around, we were ready for it, and then we all obviously had our main prep for Steph and Clay and all the other guys, Draymond and everything. So I think it kind of came together smoothly when we did find out he was going to play, but there's no doubt you're constantly trying to find out information about you know, player status, and that's ongoing throughout the playoffs. You never really get a clean answer until, you know, you're probably getting pretty close to throwing the ball up.
With John Goodwillie, Raps video coordinator and the Raps Summer League head coach. So when you're living it day in and day out, the 2.5 month sprint marathon, whatever it felt like, John, through the playoffs to the ultimate prize and hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy, it's one thing to be in the muck day in and day out. It's another thing to decompress a little bit, look back and go, holy, you know what? That actually happened. How do you look at that 2.5, 3 month window now as compared to how you felt living it day to day as it was happening?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, I probably found out I was going to be the head coach of the Summer League team not that long after we kind of wrapped up the season and really had to turn the page and start, start prepping and planning for here in Vegas, which is the way we like it. Right. Quick turnaround and on to the next thing. So I think maybe once I get through Summer League, I'll have a little bit more time to reflect, but I think that one of the words that really, I've told a lot of people is how emotional it is. You know, you live and die by every game, and you try not to get too caught up in it, and you stick to the process of keep finding ways to win possessions, keep finding ways to make them less efficient. But when you win a game in the playoffs and versus losing a game in the playoffs, you know, that has the potential to change your mood for 48 hours a little bit, you know? And you got 2 days off in between. And certainly when we lost game one to Orlando, that was a salty couple days. And when we were down 2-1 to Philly, down 2-0 to Milwaukee, you know, there's some emotional stress, and our guys were just so great at sticking true to the process. Nick was so great about not ever showing that emotional roller coaster that it is. He just kept, sticking to the process and sticking to finding ways to play a little bit better, to expose them, the opposition, a little bit more. And then you win a couple games and you feel really good about yourself for a couple days. And so it's a real roller coaster. And certainly, you know, the Philly series was so back and forth, and the Milwaukee series, you know, we really had to come from behind to get it. And then obviously, you know, the culmination in the finals, it's certainly an emotional time. And but you try not to let anyone feel that emotion. You know, you try to stay true to the way you've been all season, because that's the environment that your players are most comfortable in. And then maybe most emotional of all was the parade. You know, I think being from Toronto, seeing all that sea of people, it was an emotional time, and it was a lot of fun. It was an experience I'll never forget, absolutely. And we had a great group of guys that were able to bring it home.
John, thanks so much for doing this. Congratulations on your success, the team's success, and let's catch up again soon.
Thanks. Can I ask Timmy one quick question?
Please.
I'm dealing with a bit of coach's voice here, and you know, I saw the way you used to yell at the outfielders.
Did you notice that they didn't listen to me half the time?
What's that?
Did you notice they didn't listen to me half the time?
was it because your voice wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't quite.
Oh, yeah, I was lost over there.
For me, I'm fighting through it a little bit here.
Yeah, just keep going. Just keep yelling. Eventually, they'll tune in.
I always found, John, watching that the outfielders used to wave back at Leap, but with one finger. You can guess which one.
Well, I haven't had that response yet, so hopefully no time soon.
Hey, John, congratulations on this. This is a great honor, man. I'm glad you're getting to sit behind the bench and do this for the first time, and I think it's really great.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.